Okay, and just gonna go ahead and get started with the spoilers for Captain Marvel. The biggest thing is just how they handle the Kree Skrull stuff. Mike, how do you feel about that?
As far as introducing the Skrulls? It didn't bother me at all. One thing that did bother me is they didn't wait to introduce the Skrulls whenever they brought in Fantastic Four, because that's kind of the main storyline that they tend to fall under. But there's been a rumor for a long time that the Skrulls have kind of been around. I mean, I've even seen people with conspiracy theories that one of the Avengers is actually a Skrull this whole time, and that's going to be one of the big secrets of Endgame. So I feel like they kind of had to introduce them now, just in case that does come out to be true. It didn't bother me the way they handled it.
I'm not the comic book purist. I didn't mind the twist with the Skrulls being the kind of the universe victims, but I was a little thrown aback that they lost so badly. They were more of a solid threat than anything else, and kind of were the constant mainstays, the villain of the Marvel Universe. I'm kind of glad that you don't have evil races and everything like that. I never liked that whole aspect of anything where a whole race is considered the bad guys and stuff. That's just...
That's Thor the Dark World.
True. I mean, it might be why it was kind of with Thor the Dark World. I mean, I did like it, but still, I was a little thrown with that. But I think that Ben Mendelsohn made the Skrull so likable. Not so much the little thing with the two little girls kind of bonding and everything like that. It was more or less he gave them a lot of personality. They're not too bad.
What was the name of that main Skrull?
Talos?
Yes. I think he did a great job as far as making them feel human. Figured that was part of the twist as far as, like, instead of them being bad guys, who are more refugees than bad guys. But also part of it is... And Mike can correct me if I'm wrong. They were manipulators to begin with. So I wouldn't be surprised in the future if they're like, hey, I'm just a refugee trying to find a home, and come to find out they're trying to take over the universe.
Yeah, and I was going to say, just because they are one way in this movie doesn't mean later on down the line they don't switch it to where it's kind of more comic accurate.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, was it a twist in this movie? Yes. Did it catch me off guard? Not really. But just like Mike said, I mean, hey, they could be good in this movie, and then the next movie, next thing we know, Endgame, they've been there, and it might be one of those things where they're building up towards the end of Phase 5. Not 4, but 5, because this could be one of those long-standing things where it's like, who's who? And then all of a sudden, now you're dealing with X-Men, and then Fantastic Four, and then more people get involved. That would be a way to plant that seed. So, but they did add a nice humanistic character, which I guess they're trying to do more with the bad guys rather than just like, hey, I'm bad, you're evil, let's fight.
This is where I started comparing this to Iron Man 3, where that whole reveal for the Mandarin turns out to be a comedic beat. Even the way Ben Mendelsohn played that character is the same as Ben Kingsley playing the Mandarin when he got found out.
I don't see that.
I don't either.
I don't see that. Iron Man 3, Ben Kingsley came out from taking a shit. Drops down, like, and looking for his next hit. I just don't see it. It's completely different the way they kind of introduced it and broke him down. The Skrull was so comic accurate. It would have been different if it turned out that the Skrull were a fake alien race. They were just made up by the Kree. That would have been a fake out. Because Iron Man 3, there was no Mandarin until Guy Pearce has proclaimed himself he was one.
Please don't remind me of that.
But they fixed that with the event. Yeah, see, I didn't mind it too much. I liked Iron Man 3. So
Iron Man 3 is a piece of shit.
I would rate this movie terrible. Above Iron Man 3. So getting on to the next stuff is how they handled Mar-Vell's reveal. That I guess we kind of touched on it about the Tesseract, everything else. Anybody have comments about that?
I was fine with her being a woman. I think that's one of the big...
It's not even a concern. It's just how they handled it.
Yeah, she worked out pretty. It was fine. Still hit the same beats as the original. Mar-Vell was a hero. I mean, the original Captain Marvel, granted, flying around, member of the Avengers and all that other stuff. His death was considered a great tragedy. And in his death, you know, he passed his abilities on to Carol Danvers.
Where it kind of reminded me of Green Lantern, but...
Yeah, but in this case, it was... involved with something far-reaching. She felt a little more important than Mar-Vell was in the original comic books. But it was still the same beat. Mar-Vell was a Kree renegade who was trying to help people. And in this case, helping the Skrulls. They didn't make the Kree out to be the ultimate villains. It is good and bad in all of them. So it wasn't thing, but no, I was fine with it. I actually prefer this version better than the original, actually.
It was a little aimless. Like, the whole plot for this was just aimless. And it culminates in a big nothing for the third act. I get the same feeling as Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's the same feeling. It's like, all right, weak villain, weak story. Let's get to the next real movie. Matt, any comments?
None that you guys haven't hit on. The only thing I didn't like is with Nick Fury, the whole thing about last time I trusted a man, I lost the eye, and then come to find out it's fucking Cat. Cat.
Yeah, I did not like that a lot.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I was a little salty about that. I'm like, well, that's
no question afterwards, even that was what caused the eye. I thought maybe his eye ended up healing over time and it's something else, because I just didn't think they were going to go with the whole Cat route, to be serious. My biggest question, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been trying to figure this out since I saw the movie, is if Nick Fury's seen the Tesseract since 1990-something, then why in Avengers did he seem so unfamiliar with it? That was the biggest plot hole it left for me. Me and my wife sat there and looked at each other like, wait a minute, he's seen the Tesseract this long ago? So why does it seem like it was so foreign to him all this time when he's older?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really question. I guess what I thought was that he just, in this case, in Avengers 1, it was the first time they got it working.
Was that Avengers 1 or Avengers 2? Like,
which? The first Avengers, what? When he first got one? That's when he got the Tesseract working. The reason he got it working was because Stellan Skarsgård's character's name,
Eric Selvig.
Eric Selvig. He saw the Bifrost work. I think that was where the breakthrough came from. They didn't just explain it. So, because like in the beginning, like it, you know, Eric Selvig was talking, like it started reacting and something was coming through. And I'm assuming it was Eric Selvig, like after Thor came in, which kind of fits in with what Nick Fury was saying, that the minute Thor came down, shit started changing. Hell bent on forming the Avengers because Carol Danvers was gone. They didn't have anything that would help that could contest with that stuff.
All right. So the next thing would be the Stan Lee tribute.
The opening segment. I like that.
Yeah, I like it. Very good touch. Without it being overbearing.
Yeah.
Very classy. As much as he's meant to the universe and Marvel, the MCU comic books itself, it wasn't overbearing and whatnot. And I look forward to seeing his future cameos, because he still has a couple more.
Very well done. No one clapped in the theater that I was in. I heard that there were some audiences. It was kind of like a round of applause and all that.
Yeah.
I thought it was done really well.
Yeah, a few people.
And I had already heard about it, so when it came up, I wasn't like I was surprised. But if I had been surprised by it, I felt like my reaction probably would have been I either would have jumped up and said, yeah! Or something like that, but I kept it cool. So
it was more muted than the audience I was in. Everybody's kind of like, oh, that's nice. That's cool. I'm like, yeah, that's nice. It just kept going. And it was a little longer than the original one. I'm just like, dude, he was in all those things. I'm like, I'm going to miss seeing him. And when he popped up in a movie, I don't think anyone expected him to pop up in the movie.
Yeah, and I like this cameo because he was reading his lines from Mallrats.
Yeah, that was.
Was that cool. What it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was just something, and I was like, he wouldn't just be reading lines. Normally, it connects somehow.
He's reading Kevin Smith's script, and it was actually his lines from the movie Mallrats, so I thought it was real cool. Yeah.
I softened up on her character when she kind of put the thing down and just, like, smiled at him. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Because up until that point, I was, like, not feeling the movie that much. She's super powerful. I'm not seeing a whole lot of... Ms. Marvel would have ripped that whole train open and shook everybody out and just body slammed that damn Skrull. I'm like, she's getting punched in the face. And
well, she was still trying to figure out her powers. Mind you, she was running everywhere, and then later on, she was flying everywhere. It was like a flip of the switch.
Yeah, and I still don't think they've shown her true powers yet. I think that, like I said, it was just a quick little tease, and then by the time everything catches up to Endgame, mind you, she's been gone since 1990-something. Dealing with other worlds and galaxies, so Lord knows how she's evolved and what it's going to be like now.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what she does in Endgame, because if it's anything like what Doctor Strange is pulling off, I'm all for that. Because Doctor Strange in Avengers versus Doctor Strange from his movie?
Oh, yeah.
Two totally different people. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what that first dude was doing. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, he copped out that. He was the boss. I'm like, okay.
And so, a lot of that has to do with a more capable director. Agreed. Maybe that might work out for her character.
I can get behind what you're saying there, Barry. I think Marvel, and I think they're starting to learn the lesson, is that just because you've got a female star, even a black lead, you know, a film that's kind of Black-centric. You don't necessarily have to hunt and pick and find someone who's going to embrace the, I don't know, the Blackness or the womanness in it. I mean, you just need to find the right director who's capable enough to do the job. I don't want to say they lucked out with Ryan Coogler, but
Ryan Coogler had experience.
Yeah, he had experience, but I shudder to think who else they would have tried to tap if he wasn't around or if he wasn't available. Now, Spike Lee.
That was actually the first thing that came to my mind.
Spike Lee directing that? I mean, it would have been an interesting take, but
as much as I like Spike Lee,
I don't know if he could have handled it. I don't know if he would have delivered that.
I'm a Spike Lee fan. I'm going to have to say no to that one.
I don't see how he would handle that. Like, you don't necessarily have to have a female director like Wonder Woman. Patty Jenkins can direct, gave up the reins. She wasn't directing all the action scenes, but at the same goal, they were real adamant about having a female director and kind of women lead the production on it. And I'm like, okay, but at the same realm, I mean, are they going to deliver on, you know, what folks want to see in these types of movies? We want to see some action. We want to see a solid, concise story. Don't need to see a bunch of romance and all this other stuff and talking about feelings and empowerment and all that other crap. Like, we don't need to see all that. You know, we already know these characters are badasses. You just need to show us. Don't need to sit there and talk about it for 20 minutes. Last act in the movie was pretty much what saved it, I think.
I think that was the worst part of the movie.
The last act?
I believe the beginning of the movie is okay. The middle of the movie goes kind of blah. And then the end of the movie is like, if I had to turn that into actual words, the middle of the movie is just bland. And the end of the movie is just blander. But the beginning of the movie, before all the twists, before everything else, is the strongest part of the movie. How do you guys feel about the end credit sequences?
What were they again? It was
one was just long, she shows up after the snap.
And she then has the other longer one, hair.
Yeah, and the other one is just the cat throwing up the Tesseract.
It didn't lead anything. It's not anything that we didn't know. So it didn't do anything for me.
It was a nice little touch. We're just going to get right to it without it being a whole lot of exposition and stuff. So, I don't know. The cat throwing up the Tesseract, that was just like, what the fuck? I mean, you kind of knew that was happening. Kind of hoping that the cat would throw up other things, like the scroll heads and stuff. I think that would have been funny. Oh, really? I was like, is this going to throw up anything else? No, just the Tesseract. Nah.
The cat throwing up the Tesseract was predictable. They showed the cat. The first thing I said was, oh, he's going to throw up the Tesseract. The endgame sequence, they just served the purpose of letting everybody know, hey, Captain Marvel's in Endgame, because some people still didn't know that. And I know when it happened, at least in the theater I was in, all the little girls and their mothers all screamed at the same time. So, again, I think it served the purpose of, okay, we've empowered you all. Now, just to mind you, so you know, yeah, she's going to be in Endgame too, so come back in a month and check it out. So, I mean, for me, it was fine, because I already knew, but now everybody else knows. And again, everything they're showing us according to Feige is within the first 15 minutes. So when it pops in the movie, you already know where we're going. So
the cat coughing on the Tesseract, I thought they could just left that out. Really would not have cared about that. And the her showing up after the snap just kind of reminded me of Captain America when they found Bucky and he was trying to hold his arm in the vise. It kind of reminded me of, it didn't really seem great emotional. We know she's in the movie. So that's it. Like, I didn't really feel any particular way about it. Is that it, everybody?
That's it for me.